incredible. And who signs over those papers? You know, it's the tribal councils all over the world.
Yeah, who signs over
Put these? Someone just in office so they can sign over the rights of the people.
You look down at the gun, and that's the signature, you know? Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to let Chiquish know that Pauline hasn't had her legs removed. It's another elder that I'm taking care of who lives in Santa Cruz who's had her legs removed. Pauline still has her legs.
I see. I'm reading one of your letters here. I take it this is Swan Eagle.
And I was kind of just writing, doing free association, and I'm afraid maybe it wasn't clear that I was letting you know that I'm taking care of an elder here with who's had her legs
in. Oh, I see. Yes, because I'm looking at your letter right now, and it doesn't matter. I'm glad that she has her legs. We certainly need every part of her to continue the fight.
Well, I think it's very the sense of urgency that exists in her life is that extreme. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, you were there on the reservation, and could you talk about some of the nature that the harassment is taking? I believe it has something to do with sheep. Now, this is all our tax dollars, folks. And please mention the sheep and the sonic booms and the helicopters, just what you personally firsthand saw.
Well, she asked to have a peace camp on her land because she wanted to have first-hand witnesses to the harassment, because often the people are not believed because so many of them who see it directly don't speak English.
Right, and we're talking about Big Mountain and the uranium, coal, and oil that's there underneath the traditional Navajo people, right?
Yes.
Okay. Could you be real specific, because we're covering so many subjects, I'm really going to have to ask you to just talk about that, if you can.
When I was herding sheep, I saw jet fighter planes fly so low they were at eye level.
Yeah.
And one time, Pauline and I and my daughter were in the whole gun eating breakfast, and we heard a terrible loud noise, and quick she called me out, and the fighter jet flew so low over a whole gun you could see the details. And as soon as it passed, the coyotes began to howl. And mm-hmm. each day she'd walk out all over the land and would see tracks from four-wheel drive vehicles that searched the land looking for livestock.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the stress of the situation...
And what would they do when they found livestock?
They would impound them.
Oh.
And what is this livestock to Navajo people?
They need the wool to weave the rugs. The mutton is used in ceremonies and to feed the people. There's mm-hmm. been a 90% livestock reduction mm-hmm. causing starvation. Pauline, I wrote and asked her she could send a rug so we could sell it direct and get the money to her. She told me, I don't even have time to weave anymore. And then shortly after that, like within the past couple of weeks, her sheep were sprayed by the silent helicopters, leaving a very strange residue on their And then the BIA came in and took most of them. And when I was herding sheep for her and staying with her last spring, they were dying from a poison weed. And it's like a torture of her animals. Rather than torturing her directly, that her life
they're doing it all around her.
Tormented.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible when you realize that this government is waging war all over the earth with billions and billions of dollars, and they have declared war on Indian people.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening. And, you know, it's ongoing, and there's also a whole thing happening in Santa Barbara now by the oil companies, which I'll get into.
Well, on television, there was a movie just last week about the Indians being harassed near Las Vegas, the airplanes low-flying and China falling off the cupboards, the native populations just really being chased out. I often wonder, there's so much interest, like, in El Salvador and Guatemala, Nicaragua, which there should be, but maybe America should clean up America and turn itself in and take care of the American Indian first.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that connects American Indians in El Salvador is Pino Air Park in Marana, Arizona. Evergreen Air Park is responsible for this place. They send helicopters that fly over El Salvador. We feel strongly that the helicopters that harass the people at Big Mountain come from the same place.
Are you getting Evergreen, the airplanes up there?
I don't know about the airplanes, but the helicopters are very similar to what, you know, they use in El Salvador and also on the Border Patrol.
Uh-huh.
And the Pino Air Park trains the Border Patrol, BIA law enforcement officials, and is a site for the CIA. And so what I keep trying to search for is areas of military zones that show the connections between what's going on in Central America, South Africa, the border, you know, and to American people.
Of course, look at America. The melathion that was sprayed on us at the time of that Mevla incident, which I didn't believe for a minute, came out of the Evergreen Airlines and the CIA when they just came back in the backyards up in Silicon Valley and just sprayed.
Evergreen Airlines was also at the
root
of that.
It was right by the one that did the spraying, yeah. And I just read in the Miami Herald that they want to spray them for the medfly, and they're stopping it because it's ecologically dangerous. So in a few years from now...
It's interesting that here in California, they seem to be finding the medfly in the areas that house perhaps the best bunch of anarchists, like Berkeley, San Lorenzo Valley. So go after the medflies there.
And prove they didn't fall. Thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think that there would be a... How influential are you, and are you working with people to call attention to Americans who are doing a good job overseas, but really we should all in some collective thing adopt maybe a certain Indian community and become knowledgeable? Is there a way to do that, to break down?
I could definitely suggest one.
Yeah.
I would say the whole thing that is happening right now at Big Mountain is emblematic of all that's going on.
Oh, yeah, the
all
corporate
the
greed and also...
Yeah. Adopt the Navajo.
Yeah. Adopt the Navajo, although you're on the air.
Hi, May.
Hi. Oh, you're back.
Yeah, I'm back.
She went to Australia.
Yeah. Listen, just your last topic reminded me of when they did that spraying in remember Ray Taliaferro did that big investigation, and he discovered that malathion was only one thing that was being sprayed. There was a total of 10.
Yeah.
Different things that were being sprayed on the people.
And that was to get Jerry Brown out so that we could have the great Senator Pete Wilson,
right.
The statesman of the ages, right? Who wants to mess around now with our big Sur Coast?
Really? Yeah. Well, you know, and I'm also thinking about how many, many vicious things happened in the name of religion over the ages.
There was an article in the paper this last week, I think, with a map of all the wars that were caused by religions.
Oh,
what are you reflecting on right now? I'm interested in what comes to your mind.
Are you speaking to me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm reflecting on some of the things you've been saying, you know, about Father Sierra, and I didn't realize well, of course, I wasn't politically active for a long time, but I didn't realize that the Indians were treated so badly by these priests.
You know, what I really call out is for people to just look at common sense. The most damaging amounts of documentation against Junipero Serra are owned by the Vatican themselves now. And they are cloistered within all of those floors upon floors upon floors underneath the Vatican, where most of the real history of this earth and our civilizations lie. You know, the unholy Roman Empire was the one that went to Britain, to the New World. Everywhere it went, it confiscated, it burned down, it took over, and it rebuilt. It built its own temples on those of the people before it. And it's all his story. All this history is written by the conquerors. And there is even, we have documentation about where all this information is being held. However, we have enough to really make people question very badly in this time of conquest, exploitation of resources, using indigenous people with slave labor, and just general genocide. Junipero Serra is a perfect model. Yeah. So what is the church? What statement are they trying to make?
What's that quotation that he did whip them a little bit, but not as hard? I read one of the quotations.
It was
you want to shape them up or get them to think his way?
Don DeNeve, who I debated in before the Carmel ACLU in February, he admitted at the end, it was just astonishing, and of course it immediately got covered up, that, Junipero Serra allowed flogging and beatings, but it was never for more than 2 minutes or 20 strokes, where you can take someone down to their bones. And also Father Serra, in his own letters, absolutely idolized St. Francis of Solano, who was a priest in Peru, a little little while before Junipero Serra came. And this man was called time and time again. He even got criticized by the Vatican itself for the tremendous amount of flogging and physical torture that the Indian people were put through. And it's just, I have a question to pose to people. Now, I have a letter from Junipero Serra says that he personally witnessed, or he witnessed against two women, and because he says that he saw them flying through the air and flying into caves where they cavorted and did unseemly things with demons. Now that leaves us with, as far as I can see, only two alternatives concerning this man. He was either crazy and hallucinating the most ugly, dastardous things, what was in this man's mind to see such things, or he was lying. And if he was lying, then he was directly involved with the murder of many, many women.
Or he thinks he
knew it.
Either way, he doesn't come out good.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, the church constantly says, show us proof. Well, I have, and they ignore it. They keep saying, show us proof. Junipero Serra actually did this himself. Well, show me the proof where Adolf Hitler was seen or photographed actually pushing a button at Auschwitz that gassed the Jews.
Right.
He created and architected and maintained the system precisely as Junipero Serra
did. This is where the National Security Council got it from. You say, the president saying arms to Iran, he says, give me the proof. And they haven't yet admitted that they traded arms for hostages and or killed John Kennedy. You say, well, give me the proof. And you show them 20 things. They say, no, that's just circumstantial. And they want a proof, but they refuse to identify a proof.
Well, I remember the day that I was accosted by one of the bishops there at Carmel Mission in August of 85, when I stood up and spoke in front of 1,200 people that were there sitting in silence. You would have thought that they would all were in agreement with celebrating the 200th anniversary of the death of Junipero Serra. I think it's interesting that they celebrate the death and not the birth. I too would celebrate that.
That's a good celebration.
Yeah. Well, afterwards, I was accosted by this very elitist-looking priest who said, where is your authority? Show me your authority. And I said, I'm an Indian woman. He said, you have no authority. I thought that was marvelous. He said, show me your documentation. And I said, our people have maintained thousands and thousands of years of oral history, which is absolutely clear and perfect. He said, that is no proof.
It was no
that's
proof.
No documentation.
It was no proof. His Bible came that the Hebrews wrote 2,000 years before.
You know,
if that's no proof, then
who has proof anyway? I mean, any religion.
Well, it's common sense, don't you see? A handful of priests and a couple of legions of military, there's an unholy alliance right there. You know, you are who you keep company with. And they came here, and, you know, one of the spiritual leaders of our tribe, Kot Loda, said, you know, I remember the stories being told when the Spaniards first came. We had the land, and they arrived with the Bible, and they said, brothers, bow. Of course, they never said sisters, because they didn't recognize the women at all, and it was a matriarchal society. But they said, brothers, let us bow our heads and pray. Close your eyes. So we closed our eyes. We bowed our heads. And when we looked up, we had the Bible and they had the land. And how did they manage to get it? How did they manage to feed the armies and the priests and send money back? They enslaved the Indians. And they say, oh no, these Indians were baptized and they loved it. There's another letter I have from Junipero Serra's own words, where he asks Philip de Neve, the then governor of Monterey, to go after this man who has Indian men, who was very respected by the people and has been renamed by the priest Baltazar. And he says, go out and hunt this man down, put him in chains and beat him, because we want to use him as an example to any of the other dissidents and malcontents.
You know, it doesn't change much to 1987 in El Salvador. In Nicaragua, the same thinking, the same behavior is going. When at what point do people get enlightened and stop that kind of thing? When does it happen?
Well, I thank the Pope and I thank Noel Moholy for bringing up the absurdity of canonizing such a model as Junipero Serra, because I'll tell you what, this shows that it is continuing to go on. That's why we really need to speak out about Junipero Serra, because it's like holding up Hitler in a time when women and children and third world people are begging for some kind of honor and respect and survival. It's like deciding that that is the time to take Hitler and show him up as a model for us all.
And they get away with it. It strength terrorizes other people. Thanks for calling.
Isn't this the first time that in our history that we've had diplomatic relations with the Vatican?
If we have an ambassador to the Vatican, the first time in about 125 years, I think. And the first one that Ronald Reagan had, of course, was William Wilson, and that's his personal financier that handled his accumulated fortune from nothing to millions, and was sent to Rome. And now he has Frank Shakespeare, who was head of the U.S. Information Agency, and so he's got a good top American spy in the Vatican. And so the relationships are really another way of scratching each other's spy back.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
I know in the San Francisco Chronicle, I believe it was in the Sunday section, I cut out the little article. I wish I had brought it. And from one of the Monsignors within the Vatican itself, he says that the Vatican has cash assets in property and buildings and so forth of $560 million.
Oh, I know.
And they were telling us that we needed to pay here for the honor of that visit because they were near bankruptcy.
Well, that's
not counting the Michelangelos and the Da Vinci's.
Oh, well, they're not going to sell them, though.
People are hungry.
No, you're on
help
the air.
People.
Well, May, you and your guests were saying that they thought that Junipero Serra could be possibly lying or mistaken.
Which is
I opted for the idea that maybe he was purposely lying. I have a quote here from a book by Giraldus Cambrensis. He was part of the Anglo-Norman invasion force. He was a chaplain for it, I guess. He was part of it, anyways. Of Ireland by the Anglo-Norman invasion, which was instigated by Nicholas Breakspear, the only Englishman to be Pope. And it was under the book was called The Topography of Ireland. And this is an example of the type of lying that their personnel would do. It's under the title, A Man That Was Half an Ox and an Ox That Was Half a Man. In the neighborhood of Wicklow, at the time when Maurice Fitzgerald got possession of that country and the castle, an extraordinary man was seen, if indeed it be right to call him a man. He had all the parts of the human body except the extremities were those of an ox. From the joints of the hand with the arms and the feet with the legs, he had hooves the same as an ox. He had no hair in his head, but was disfigured with baldness, both in front and behind. Here and there he had a little down instead of hair. His eyes were huge and were like those of an ox in color and being round. Mm-hmm. His face was flat as far as his mouth. Instead of a nose, he had two holes to act as nostrils, but no protuberance. He could not speak at all. He could only low. He attended the court of Maurice for a long time. He came to dinner every day, and using his cleft hooves as hands, he placed in his mouth whatever was given him to eat. The natives of the place, anyways, it goes on.
Who wrote this? What's this about?
It's called The Topography in Ireland, of Ireland. He was part of the Anglo-Norman invasion force. After the Normans took over England, which was probably Roman-backed, they invaded Ireland, I don't know, 70 years later. And then after they waylaid, you know, the Celtic Church and, you know, the upper ranks in Ireland, they wrote these type of fraudulent diatribes to, you know, justify their excesses.
Yeah.
And So he admitted in the book that he was incapable of lying. He was expected to get rewarded by Henry II, and he didn't.
Uh-huh.
And he said that it was his fate to be unrewarded by princes that didn't appreciate him or something. Yeah. And he said he was never given to tell him the truth or something. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that a lot of these people in the Catholic Church know what they're doing. I think in Mexico there was a lot of evidence of a religion very similar to the Catholic Church, and there was very heavy censuring of any information yeah. on Mexico for at least 100 years, and had to go through...
There still is.
Pardon me?
There still is censoring of what goes on in Mexico.
Yeah.
We're totally ignorant of the amount of poverty and the circumstances there.
Yeah, well... I think that they knew that there was, I think it was a Father Acosta said that that the devil had brought a false religion to Mexico, and that accounted for the false, similarity. There was baptism and cross and quite a few other things that were similar to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Yeah, in the mission, Dolores Mission in San Francisco, there is a large mural that is quite old, and it has the symbol of the cross over three panels. One is one of the Spain, and it says riches, and over the church it says God, and over the Indian panel it says death, and that's what's there.
Oh, my. It's so bad. I keep groaning. I can't. It gets bad. You know. Hello?
Hi, Meg.
You're on the air.
Hi. How do you pronounce your guest's name?
Chiquish. Is that pronounced right?
Chiquish.
I'd like to ask Chiquish a question, if I may. Yeah.
Okay.
I've read a little bit about the Indian religious beliefs, and especially the Hopi, and in particular concerning the Hopis, the idea that there was a tablet, and that the tablet has been handed down over the years, and it is somehow a prophetic instrument.
Yes, it's connected with Oribe on Third Mesa.
If you would please elaborate on that story, I would appreciate it. I'll listen to you on the air.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Well, let's see. From what I understand from the now deceased Kikmovi, or the last hereditary chief of the Hopi, who was Mainalangsa in Oribe. Now, Oribe is interesting because it has been continuously inhabited for a minimum of 3,000 years. It's the oldest continuously inhabited community in the Western Hemisphere. And it has to do with a set of tablets that were brought by the Hopi people to this place. And there are certain families within the Hopi communities who hold them now. And yes, it has to do with a time of purification and chaos. The Hopi people say that we are now in a time of chaos, and that we are Koyaanisqatsi, a world out of balance, and that this imbalance and this separation of mind and heart is going to bring about a purification. It can happen in two ways. If things are left the way that they are and people do not grow up and become responsible and aware, Hopi people say there are three things that you must do to become this way. You keep your eyes open, or you are aware. Ask permission, and then the rest is up to you. The responsibility is yours. If we take it, this will be a spiritual purification, and people will reach a place of critical consciousness, and a mass will be reached. If we do not, and turn around, and if we do not mend the sacred hoop by seeing all colors, all people of four directions as being sacred and needing to be listened to, so we can piece together back the hoop and have the whole truth instead of our fragmented parts that we keep arguing and fighting about. If we continue to argue and fight and do not listen and realize that we are one whole, then there will be a great gourd of ashes and a destruction of the people.
Which is happening.
Which is happening.
Not opening their eyes. They turn further in. The more the news or the events of their lives get compounded.
Well, you know, right now there is thoughts of taking my own program off the air. And I think that it's coming from the pressure in the community who will not face me openly. You know, as we handle events here in the community, we've talked a lot about Junipero Serra. People know where I stand. And there has been no direct attack on me except to call me a witch. And I'm sure they don't mean that kindly. However, I believe that witches were probably the wise women of the earth, and that's why the Spanish Inquisition and the Catholic Church wiped them out. However, now what's happening is I keep asking people to call in. And I say, you know, if you have something to say in defense of Junipero Serra, if you have, you show me proof that he was a saintly person. If you want to discuss it and your opinion is very different from mine, please do. And I throw open the phones to them. In all the time that I've been on the air, we have not had one single solitary call from that segment of the community. And I honor them and I would like to hear from them. Instead,
That isn't the thinking of people who are dead. They don't explain or want you. Very few people come and say, yeah. I really feel something is wrong.
JT told me that there have been at least three calls after every program of people complaining about something that I'm doing on the program.
Oh, my goodness.
But they don't call me directly.
Well, we're not going to complain. We're going to take one more call, and then our time is almost up. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, yeah, I'd like to say something possibly, as you might say, in defense of Father Serra.
Okay.
And that is this, that I'm taking it for granted that he had a missionary bent and was out to convert anybody and everybody up the coast to Christian thinking, and that was obviously the Indians and the natives of America and the, you know, California coast, that I think records show, and that it's really factual, that he had a lot to do with keeping a lot of violence and a lot of misrepresentation and a lot of things happening to the Indians. You know, the conquistadors came up, and we look at him as being at the head of the line, right? We look at Father Serra as being the leader of these people, the mentor, and the man who makes all the decisions. And the fact is that he kept a lot of the rapes, the killings down, and when he couldn't, he went south to Mexico and sat at the viceroy's door until he got an edict that stopped all this stuff going on. And a lot of it, and when he came back, there were Indians and Native Americans kept within the walls. There were a lot of separations going on between the families.
Hey, I'm sorry. We'll have to get in touch with you because our time is up. Do you want to leave a phone number and discuss it with them?
Okay, but I want to say, use your common sense. What would have happened to Junipero Serra and the church if all of their slave labor had been killed?
Yeah, so they kept some alive. Elizabeth, maybe you can get in touch with Chiquish. Do you want your phone number?
I certainly do not.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Thank you very much. And that concludes the second half of World Watches. We're going to turn on a little bit of music and then get ready some nice jazz. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for calling.
I'll be back with you next week.
America is waiting for a message of some sort or another.